Good morning. Happy Easter. Yes, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Yeah, we are here to celebrate our Christ resurrection for all of us. So are you ready for that? Yes, yes. So before we start our service, we have some special announcements for you this morning. We're going to start a new sermon series next, you know, Sunday. It is about seven churches in Asia Minor, and that we will try to listen to God's voices from what Jesus said to all those seven churches in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. So please prayerfully join the services and try to listen to God's voices for our church, Midland First. Amen? Amen. Amen. We have a special announcement about the Corey concert.
Good morning, church, and happy Easter. All of you received today a little postcard in your bulletin. Share with a friend if you have to share. This postcard is to inform you that this year we will be hosting again the John and Hazel Curry Memorial Concert. It will be on Friday, May 17th, and we have the privilege and honor of featuring the Hope UMC Gospel Choir from Southfield, Michigan. If you flip your card over, you will see the bio of the director who will be leading this group. He is a well-established musician in the Detroit area. He is a big name. He is a wonderful person, and it has been a privilege to work with him. So please, if you are looking for something to do with Mom, this is a good chance, a good opportunity. It is free to the community. Don't tell Mom. Tell her you spent lots of money on a ticket. And it is not general admission. It is free. We will not take an offering. This is a gift for our community. So please help us spread the word. Next week, if you are here, you are going to hear about another music opportunity that we have coming up in the summer. We will have a new summer concert series coming up, which we're pretty excited about. So keep this on your fridge and pass it around. Thank you.
Yeah. For the summer Corey concert, June, July, and August, every second Sunday at 7 o'clock p.m. at the sanctuary, you will experience special music presentation from our church. And then you can invite our neighbors and your family members to those concerts we have planned for this summer. And we have announcements about our prayer ministries.
Good morning. I am so happy to announce that we had the highest number so far at our day of prayer on Maundy Thursday. Thank you for participating in that very special time. And also, the Upper Room has published devotions for us to meditate on starting tomorrow, April 1st, and ending before the General Conference of the United Methodist Church, which starts on April 23rd. If you're interested in picking one of those up, there are copies available outside my office in the hall across the garden. Thank you.
Thank you, Hillary. As you know, during the Lenten season this year, we had special gatherings every Wednesday night at the church. We had the time to, you know, have a fellowship together and also have a worship time, you know, together and, you know, small group experiences. So I'd like to share some testimonies from those who participated in that special event, you know, this year.
And I think I was kind of at a point in my own life when I was just trying to figure out what is the next step and what am I supposed to do next. So when I heard that the name of the book we would be studying was The Purpose-Driven Life, I thought this might be something I would be interested in.
I like how the author talks about our life purpose, how we're to love God, to trust Him, and to serve others was a big section in the book.
Sharing experiences in fellowship in small groups helps me learn and gives me encouragement. And in studying Wick Warren's The Purpose-Driven Life, I've gotten closer to other church members And I've also been reminded of the most important life lesson, that my life is to be lived for God's purpose, not for my purpose.
We bring God glory by serving others with our gifts. Knowing your purpose gives meaning to life and prepares us for eternity. God will ask me what I did with what He gave me.
We all can do something to help someone else. I need to remember that I'm here on earth to think like a servant and care more about others than myself.
It made me think about how to make a difference in my life and the life of others, how to trust God, to love Him, that's worship to Him. And I would recommend this book. It's really a good read. And when you get to discuss it with others in a small group, it really becomes even more meaningful.
I would encourage anyone who has not become involved in small groups to please consider it. It's really worth it.
I think I've enjoyed most the fact that I've never actually done a small group study. So I found that very interesting. I really enjoyed the people that I was in a small group with, and they were really, we all just kind of opened up, and I'm glad that First United Methodist Church offered this opportunity, and I hope it's something that they'll offer again.
There are a lot of people who have been involved in these special events behind the scenes. There were people who served us in the kitchen and down in the fellowship hall too. And also there were, you know, small group leaders and tech people and also musicians. If you were involved in these special events, please, you know, stand up. We want to recognize you guys. Please stand up. Okay. Why don't you, you know, give them a round of, you know, applause. Thank you so much. Thank you. And also, as you can see, during the Lenten season this year, our sanctuary has been wonderfully decorated. I think our worship team has done the awesome job. Why don't you give them a round of applause too? Thank you so much. Thank you. Now we come to a time of greeting one another. We Methodists, we do not just stay on the seats, okay? Please move around. Why don't you stand up and let us greet one another?
Please join me for the call of worship, or call to worship. Easter people, raise your voices. The stone has been rolled away from the tomb and Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Come, let us rejoice at what God has done. Let us run like the women did to proclaim the good news, that Jesus Christ, the Son of Man and the Son of God, lives. May we glorify God with the life he has given to us by rejoicing in the Lord always and proclaim the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to everyone we meet. Seek ye him in the name, because our Savior is risen.
Thank you.
If the children could join me. Yeah. Happy Easter, everybody. So good to see you all. Easter is pretty exciting, and today we're going to share a story that we've talked about several times in Sunday school. We're going to share it with the congregation, and this is a legend. This is a legend that honors Simon of Cyrene. What did Simon do for Jesus? It's okay. Can you say that again?
He carried the cross.
He carried the cross when Jesus fell from his pain and fatigue. So this legend developed from that. The man in the legend was an egg man. And sometimes he had enough eggs to take them into Jerusalem to sell them or give them away. And so his basket was filled with eggs. Thank you. Can somebody take one? Okay. Just on top. Good. All right. And people enjoyed his eggs. The man was really puzzled on Easter morning, on Friday, when he went into Jerusalem. It seemed to be very troubled. There was a man who could barely walk and was carrying a cross. And the Jesus, that's right. And the egg man saw him fall and had just such compassion. He picked up the cross and carried it for Jesus. And then he went to Calvary and he watched what happened. He saw the women who were there. He saw the troubled faces of people who were watching, and he just stayed. Even though he didn't understand it, it's part of that mystery of Easter. And when it was over, he started home. He thought, wait a minute, my eggs. Oh, I put that basket down when I picked up that cross. So he went back to where the basket was, even though he thought the chances of it still being there were pretty small. But there was the basket. The white cloth was still there. He thought, there's no eggs in here. He took the white cloth off, and what did he find? Can you hold it up really high? He found beautifully decorated eggs. No, one of them is. He found beautifully decorated eggs. And so some people believe this legend is what has allowed us to start coloring eggs at Easter time to celebrate the joy of the resurrection. And that's the story. Oops. And when the old man told this story, people began coloring eggs, and they still do to this very day. Some don't know why, but you do. It's okay. We can get another one. That's okay. We'll take care of it. No problem. Thank you for enjoying the legend of the Easter eggs with us. Okay. I need the eggs back, guys.
Will you join with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for the most precious gift of your Son. Thank you so much that he is risen. Help us to live in light of the resurrection, not just today, but every single day. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. May the life of Christ pour forth from us and bless the world. Help us to be your hands and feet in all the ways we can and at all times. Be with the persecuted church today and those who are not able to worship as freely as we do here in Midland. Help us not to take that for granted. Be with Israel, Ukraine, and all countries who are war-torn. Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. Let your peace rule in the hearts of your people. Here in America too, let your peace reign. Be near to those who are brokenhearted, especially those in Baltimore mourning the loss of loved ones after the bridge collapse. God, we thank you for the ways you comfort us, that you are the comforter, and the ways you call us to comfort others as we have been comforted. That is a gift. We love you and we thank you that we get to love you and we get to serve you. Thank you so much for the privilege that it is to talk with you anytime, and that you desire to speak to us. Thank you for the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
Now we come to time of offering. Please take out our French pass and let us know you are here today with us. And today's offering will be used for those who are in need in our congregation through our member care ministries. I hope our offering today can be a seed fund to help out continually our church members who are in a desperate situations. I really appreciate our member care ministry team. They are willing to go the extra mile to have this ministry on their plate. And ushers, please come forward.
I am one.
Would you please stand? Dear most gracious Father, we thank you so much for calling us to be your family together through your Son, Jesus Christ. On the morning of this Easter, we remember who you are and also the love you have given to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, and also our roles in the world. God, we are yours, and our lives are your blessings. God, we give back our lives to you with these offerings. Use our lives only for your glory and kingdom. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. The scripture reading this morning is from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to the hands of sinners and be crucified, on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the brother of James, and the other women with them, who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen clothes by themselves. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you please bow your head and join me in the prayer? Dear God, we are so grateful that we can be here together to remember what you did to all of us. God, we open our hearts toward you. God, speak to our hearts. We will obey your will. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I think our musicians, you know, have done the wonderful job today for all of us. What a such a blessing we have. Why don't you give them a round of applause once again? Thank you so much. Thank you. Let me ask you this question. What is the gospel? What is the gospel? Yes? Simply defined, the gospel is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. In today's scripture, we find women who had been with Jesus in his public ministries, remembering Jesus' words, which was the gospel message for all of us. Who did go to Jesus' tomb on the morning of the first Easter? Each gospel has different people who went to Jesus' tomb, but we know for sure that they were all women. The more important matter is that all the four gospels commonly tell us about Jesus' death and resurrection as true story. This story was the most important story Apostle Paul had shared with the people wherever he went. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 5, he says, "I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures said, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. To Apostle Paul, the story of Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, which is the gospel message, is the most important story he had to share with the people. Then what are the meanings of Jesus' death and resurrection that those women remembered? First of all, it is God's unconditional love for us. When I say us, I mean all the people without any restriction, reservation, or differentiation in the world. Romans 5:8, it says, God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. The book of Romans was written by the Apostle Paul for the Christian Gentiles and Jews in Rome to explain the meaning of the good news of Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Even though Apostle Paul was a Jew, he knew that God's love through Jesus' death and resurrection was unlimited and unconfined to anyone in the world. So he used the word us in this verse to include both Gentile and Jewish Christians. Even in today's message, the women who came with Jesus from Galilee to witness Jesus' crucifixion, death, and resurrection. According to the Gospel of Luke, they were Mary Magdalene and Joanne and Mary the mother of James and other women. They were the first witnesses of Jesus' resurrection. God handpicked those women to become his witnesses of Jesus' resurrection. Under the legal system in Jesus' time, women were not qualified to be witnesses. These women represent those who were despised, rejected, and unqualified to become members of not only Jewish, but also Roman society at that time. Let us read together Luke chapter 24, verses 5 through 10. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to the hands of sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. However, in God's plan, the women were the ones who remembered Jesus' words of suffering, death, and resurrection, which are the gospel message, and shared the good news with the church leaders at the time. God intentionally planned to accept everyone into his family. That is why whenever we remember the love of God we have through Jesus, we should pay attention to the global communities of Christians, as we can clearly see in the picture of God's kingdom in Revelation chapter 7. After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." That is the last picture of the kingdom of God we will experience when we go up to heaven. All the people in the world, they will get together, those who have faith in Jesus Christ. They are the family of God's kingdom together. So whenever we think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, especially on the Easter Sunday morning, we have to remember God's love for us, because He sacrificed his son for our sins, and was at the same time. We have to remember this picture of embracing everyone into our family. Can you say amen to that? Amen. That is why we can be very powerful, because we have that love, inviting everyone into the family of Jesus Christ. That is what Jesus did on the cross, to embrace everyone into his house. That is why whenever we remember God's love, we have to remember the God's family members in other parts of the world. Their suffering is our suffering. Their agony is our agony. Because we are all confessing the same Lord who is the head of God's family. Amen. Amen. I remember when I came to Midland 10 years ago, there were people who said that, "Oh, Pastor Yom, don't worry. We are very much a diversified community, Midland here." I do not agree, because I came from Los Angeles. But now I understand why they said that. Please pray for more diversity in our community, especially in our church, okay? I believe that wonderful picture in Revelation 7, that is the fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 25, verses 7 through 8. "And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the covering that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death before. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces and the disgrace of his people, and he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken." The church is not the kingdom of God, but we are the foretaste of God's kingdom. We are here to take good care of one another, to help out our church members and anyone who are coming to our church family. If they are in tears, we are here to wipe their tears away together. Amen. Amen. Secondly, the gospel message those women remembered has revealed God's power over death, over the reign of the wicked spiritual forces in the heavenly world, the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers of the dark age. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 through 21, God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. In the Bible, if we find the phrase God's power, it is used in the context of God's salvation for his people. So whenever you read the word God's power in the Bible, that is always related to God's salvation work for his church and also for his people. So the historical event of Jesus' death and resurrection is the culmination of revealing God's power in his redemptive stories in history. That is why we have this wonderful picture of nations praising God's salvation in Revelation chapter 7, verse 10. Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb. Let me quote Christopher Wright on this scripture. The Bible ends with a climactic final chorus. The whole of creation will sing it, and it sums up the message of the whole Bible story. It is a theme song for this book, and we will be looking carefully at the hidden depth of every phrase in it in the chapters that follow. It is not a long song, but it sums up a very long story. It is a song we will not want to get out of our heads or our hearts for all eternity. Then what is salvation? The Greek word for salvation is soteria. The Hebrew word is Yeshua. As you can imagine, Joshua's name comes from this Hebrew word, and also even the name of Jesus too. They share the same meanings, soteria and Yeshua. Deliverance from oppressors or enemies, victory in battle, healing of sickness, vindication in court, rescue from physical and spiritual dangers, and even from death. That is salvation. But God's saving action goes much further. There is an ultimate need for God to deal with sin. Sin in the world and sin in His own people. The biblical God who saves is the God who deals with sin. The biblical God who saves is the God who deals with sin. We are not supposed to forget that Jesus died for our sins and was resurrected and became the first fruit. Another translation, guarantee for our resurrection. Last but not least, the gospel message we are to remember is our joy. That transcends all understandings and any difficulties and challenges. John 16, 22. So you have pain now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Leslie Newbegin says, mission begins with a kind of explosion of joy. The news that the rejected and crucified Jesus is alive is something that cannot possibly be suppressed. It must be told. Who could be silent about such a fact? The mission of the church in the pages of the New Testament is like the fallout from a vast explosion, a radioactive fallout which is not lethal, but life-giving. This kind of joy propels us to action. This kind of joy opens us to others. And this kind of joy gives us the power to go beyond the boundaries we set in our hearts. That's why Apostle Paul encourages us, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And he also says, woe to me if I do not proclaim the gospel. We are the people of God who have experienced God's love and power through His Son's death and resurrection. We have the reason for the joy of our lives because of the salvation we have in Jesus. Then, what shall we do? Think about it. Then what shall we do? I'd like to show you a movie clip from a 2003 Czech film which is called Most. Let's watch the screen together.
Akhtera. Which one?
The brightest one. Every time you see it, it means someone is thinking about you.
And who is thinking about you now?
You.
The movie is a very short movie. It's just, last 30 minutes. I'd like to encourage you to watch that movie. It was about a son and also a father. And the train was, approaching to the station. It was, very dangerous situation. The, son tried to let the danger be known to his father. But accidentally, he fell into the rail. But the father had to pass the train, the station. That is why he had to sacrifice his son. But the people in the train, they didn't know what happened. Only the father. But we know what happened. So if we are in that kind of a situation, knowing the situation, then we are to share what really happened. The sacrifice of the son because of the father's duty for the people in the train. So let me ask you this question. Now we have this message and we know what happened in 2,000 years ago. And what shall we do? We have to proclaim the gospel message we have to the people who do not know about what really happened in the past. That is the reason why we are here as a family of God who already have the benefit from our God to save us through His Son. Amen? Amen. Amen. In April 21st, our church will have another special opportunity to get to know the lives of the Ukraine refugees we have in Michigan. So we will have a guest speaker who knows the story of their lives, and she will be with us between our services to share with us about the refugees who are living in Michigan with us. Please join that special time, okay? We are called as Christians, as global Christians and world Christians together. Amen? Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray together. Dear God, we are so much indebted to you because of the loss of your Son, Jesus Christ. But we know that he is with us to protect us and guide us and lead us to your heaven. Also, we know that you are working in our lives through your church. We are in together. God, please remember Midland First. Help us to be your faithful servants to the end, and also help us to share the gospel message we have for the people who need it. God, thank you so much for that honor that we are called by you to spread that wonderful word in the world. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. talk to the person, you know, standing next to you, Jesus Christ is risen. Jesus Christ is risen. Yes, Jesus Christ is risen. Brothers and sisters, don't be afraid of anything. Jesus Christ is risen. May God continually show his goodness and mercy to you. May Jesus Christ continually to be your means of grace in your life. May the Holy Spirit give you power and strength so that you can go out to the world and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world continually. Now, go in peace. Amen.